To be transformed in the image of Christ is to be governed daily by Christ-like love. If we're truly born-again believers, people need to be able to see love coming from us all the time. Love expresses itself in deed, not just word. I've had a lot of people tell me how much they love me, and all the while they got a knife ready for my back. So it's not just what people say, it's what people do, what Christians do. All of God's commandments are covered by one commandment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. And that's a tall order, be an imitator of God. It means in character. It means like loving people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. If you want to imitate God, be like Jesus, walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. We are told to imitate God by walking in love as Christ did. It's very plain right there in front of us. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Now, he did get tough with rebellious people, and he still does. He gets tough with me sometimes when I get out of line. But when he gets tough, it's because he loves us and he wants to keep us out of trouble. Can you say amen? Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If you need to be healed, you need a great miracle in your life, you need a new job, you need to make sure that you're lining up with the Word of God and imitating God by loving people. It's a very important part of being healed. If you must obey God and love people. Verse 40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, and of course, love God. If we love God, we will love people. If we keep the first one, we're going to keep the second one. Amen. If we keep God's law, we will bless others and do no harm to them. Love does not hurt other people. If you're doing something that hurts other people, it probably is not love. Now, some people they're too easy to get hurt. You say amen. But if you're intentionally doing things that hurt people, it's probably not coming out of love. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. That's a tall order as well. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Wow. You fulfill the law by loving people? Yes. Why is that? Well, we'll see. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Why? Because that hurts people, and it hurts you too. Hurts your family, hurts your kids. Amen. You shall not murder. Well, why is that? Because it kills people, destroys people. You shall not steal. Well, these Ten Commandments are not relevant anymore. Yeah? Well, what if I told you somebody's out there stealing your car right now? It'd be relevant, wouldn't it? Do not steal my car. You shall not bear false witness. If you don't want people lying to you, don't be lying to other people. Lying hurts people. Amen. 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 If you don't say amen, I will. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to be committing adultery with your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. Not going to be committing adultery or sexual sins with their children. Somebody say that's right. And you're not going to be trying to kill them, you know, or steal from them or lie to them. Just say amen. Amen. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. And that's why these Ten Commandments and the other commandments in the Bible are so important, because when we keep those commandments, then we're not hurting people, and when we're not hurting people, we're walking in love. I'm just reading this. Don't meet me after church and say, well, why did you preach that? I didn't. God did. Yay. At least he told me to. And hopefully he's anointing me to do it. And therefore the blame goes to him. Yay. Racism or hate does harm. And people throw that word racism around, racist. You know, it really isn't a biblical word. The word is hate. It's hate. You hate people because of the color of their skin. And that can go both ways. It go three or four ways. You can hate Mexicans because of the color of their skin, or Latinos by the color of their skin, or Jews. Can you say amen? And hate has to go. It has no place in a born again believer. Matter of fact, there's a promise coming up that's not good if I get to it. Okay. And I'll wait till I get to it. I'm trying to keep from running ahead. And the way we fulfill the law of God is by loving others. Why love does no harm to anyone. That's why it says if you love people, you're going to keep the law. Born again people, the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God is written in our hearts. And these commandments are written in our heart. And our new nature gets really upset when we are breaking those laws. And we need to recognize that and repent. Breaking God's law always hurts someone. If everyone would love each other, all crime would stop today. How simple it is. Luke 10:29, but he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I've wondered that myself. And so let's see what Jesus said. Verse 30, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. You see, this was the Jewish preacher, the Jewish priest. He didn't have time to help this poor Jew. And it says he had come down from Jerusalem. Jews lived in Jerusalem. And Samaritans lived in Samaria. So this guy was a Jew. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Levites were religious people. They are the ones that took care of the ministry and took care of the tabernacle and the temple. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, let me know Jesus is good. He's a good teacher. There's no way to really misunderstand him if you just read what he says. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. See, this really was his enemy. This Jew laying there was his enemy. They hated each other. Okay. Y'all paying attention yet? This Samaritan showed love that the priest didn't, the preacher didn't, and the religious crowd didn't. See, it's not just it's just not being religious, it's loving people. Amen. Verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was preaching against racism, and as far as I know, that word's not even the Bible, but he knew racism existed then, it exists now, and it's nothing more than hate, and it's got to go if you plan on going to heaven. Do you want me to tell you the truth now, or do you want to find out the truth on Judgment Day? Probably need to know it now. He was giving his time and money to help someone who probably hated him. They certainly weren't best friends, and they certainly weren't good neighbors toward each other. Verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Verse 37, and he said, he, the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Do you notice how Jesus pulled a quick one there? Jesus did not tell him who his neighbor was. He told him how to be a good neighbor. If we'd all be good Samaritans, America would be a wonderful place to live. Amen. Treat people the way you want to be treated. If you land in the ditch all beat up, you'd want help. John 4:9. For Jews, I just like to prove what I'm saying, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus knew that. He knew they had no dealings with each other. Racism, hatred toward each other. And yet, Jesus used the Samaritan to illustrate a good neighbor. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans very much hated each other. They certainly weren't best friends. Jesus knew their hatred, and that is why he uses Samaritans to start in this parable. Today, Jesus would say a black man drove by and found a white man robbed and beaten and took him to a hospital and took care of him. Amen, preacher. We can reverse this. A white man drove by and found a black man robbed and beaten and took him to the hospital and took care of him. That is love, period. It's not what you say, oh, I'm a Christian, I love everybody. Well, I'm going to watch and see how you treat other people. This is how, and there's no perfect people. You know, I preach it fantastic, but living it sometimes I slip up. And we appreciate an honest preacher. Some of you don't like honesty. You won't. Preachers are not perfect. Can you say amen? Amen. At least I know one that's not. He's down the road. This is how we love other neighbors as ourselves. You see, we talk about changing America if we would just do the Bible. If we would just be good neighbors like this good Samaritan, America would be changed in one day. Yeah. There's no mystery how to change this country. We need a revival that sets people on fire, that causes people to fall in love with God and fall in love with his people. Yeah. And I mean all of his people, those who are saved and those who are not. It doesn't say a neighbor is a Christian. Your neighbor may be a gay person, but you're to love them and treat them just like anybody. You don't have to approve of their lifestyle, but you cannot hate them. Amen. Those who preach hate are instruments of the devil. And boy, there's a lot of people preaching hate in America today. The secular humanists, they don't believe in love at all. Hate, hate, hate. The way you survive is hate somebody, beat up somebody, destroy their reputation. Listen, those people are on the way to the devil's hell and don't even know it. Don't get caught up in hate. You'll go where they go if you do. And I'm not mad at them. I'm just praying they get saved and born again before they destroy this country. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. This says, if people hate you because you're a godly person, it says the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. People who hate godly people are on their way to judgment. People who hate other people will face the judgment of God as the Egyptians did. We must make sure we don't allow haters to influence us. People do not understand how dangerous hate is. If you want trouble, be a hater. Hate hurts the one hating the most. Amen. We all know that's true. That's why you have all these strong teachings here from Jesus Christ and these strong teachings in the Word of God. Love is the key. It's also a key to a good marriage. I'm amazed at how we always apply the Word of God to everything except our home. And in my opinion, that's the first place you ought to apply. Well, Pastor, we need marriage counseling. Well, let me give you some real good marriage counseling. Treat each other the way you want to be treated. That deserves a bigger amen. That just saves somebody a lot of money. That just saves somebody a lot of money. Treat your wife the way you want to be treated. When I'm doing something to Dottie or affects Dottie, I'm thinking, would I want her to do that to me? And then I say, who cares? No. But just think of that. It tempers what you're doing and what you're saying. But I want her to talk to me like that. Of course, I'm always teasing and clowning around, and sometimes she takes me serious when I'm just kidding. But I mean, you need to be careful that you really express your love to probably the most important person to you personally is your wife or your husband. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and lay it on those who hate you. You see, we must make sure we do not allow hate in our lives and let other people influence us to hate. Luke 6, 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Today, if you list a lot of secular humanists and Marxists in America, the only thing to do is to hate everybody and kill everybody that disagrees with you. This is totally opposite. It says if you're going to make it to heaven, you have got to love even the people who hate you. We are not allowed to preach hate against people that we think is our enemy. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you can't defend yourself, but you can't hate them. You got to have a love for them and want to see them saved and born again and changed, and that should be your goal and mission. But at the same time, God didn't create us to be doormats, and some people take that. If you love people, you got to be a doormat. No, I'm not a doormat, and I love people. Can you say something? I also love myself, so protect myself. Luke 6, 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. We are not allowed to hate people. It doesn't mean we don't preach the truth or speak the truth. And I love everybody. Homosexuals and drunkards and rebels against God, and I want to see them saved. I love them enough to pray for them, but I'm not going to allow those people to get by without hearing the truth. I'm still going to speak the truth. Well, you hate people. You're a bigot. No. I love people enough to speak the truth. It's real easy just to shut your mouth and backpedal. If you love people, you got to tell them the truth. Now, a lot of people get it all mixed up. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't tell me I'm a sinner, and I'll tell you you're a sinner because I do love you. Well, I think this is good, no matter what anybody else thinks. We're not allowed to hate people. You see, those who preach hate are instruments of the devil. And we need to recognize that and just say that. These people are the devil. Preaching hate. Jesus didn't preach hate. You see, it is not okay to hate anyone for any reason. We are to do good to those who hate us. Just hang on. I'm getting there. Moving on. And maybe I come up with something you like here in a minute. John 8, 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Did Jesus tell them what they wanted to hear? No. He said, you're of the devil. How many times you've ever heard me come in the pulpit and look at you and say, you're of the devil? Never, and you're not going to either. Jesus was really bold. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer, and another word for that is hater. People who hate people normally wind up murdering them, or in one way or the other. May just murder the reputation with their tongue, but it's still murder. He was a murderer, a hater from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, all murderers, all liars, all racists have the same daddy, Satan. Satan is behind all hate. The same devil who inspires hate for black people inspires hate for white people. Same devil. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Boy, was he right. He said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. He would not agree with a lot of stuff that's going on in America right now. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was hated, but he decided not to return their hate with hate. He decided to love those who hated him. I want to tell you, that's the God way. Amen. Hate only hurts the person. It hurts other people, but it hurts most the person doing the hating. Get it out of your heart right now, if it's there. 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And here's where I've been going the whole time. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. If you hate people, it says, you're not going to heaven. It's got to go. If it's there. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This says hate is murder, and no murder has eternal life in him. When people slander and attack each other, that is not love. If we say we love God, but destroy the reputation of people with slander, we are liars, the word says. I'm not saying anything, I'm just reading. Okay. Many years ago, some white people said that I was a racist and told black people that. But I was even then pastoring an integrated church. The black people knew better, and some of them came and told me what they said. And that made me so mad, I wanted to commit murder. But I repented and didn't harm anybody. But I'm still praying that God will kill them. Not really, but God did say, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. But if I wish that on him, then he may not do it. So just leave it to God. Somebody say, glory to God. You see, they were trying to hurt me. That's all they were trying to do, trying to destroy my reputation, knowing they were lying. Today, when someone wants to destroy a person, they call them a racist. That's one of the key things. Why? Because most Americans today despise racists. And when they hear somebody's a racist, they may immediately start turning off toward them. I mean, I live in this world too. I know, I see how people respond. So when someone calls a person a racist, just ask them to prove it. Amen. Why do you think that? What have they done? Love not only does no harm, but it does good. Love is opposite to hate. It builds people up. Now, this is probably the most important part of the message. You see, there is an answer to hate, 1 John 3:16. Notice this is John 3:16, but it's 1 John 3:16, not St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But here you have about the same thing, 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How can you hate somebody and die for them? How can you mistreat somebody and die for them? How can you steal somebody's stuff, commit adultery with their wife, and have love for them? We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you're willing to die for somebody, you're not going to do things that hurt them on purpose. Everybody's human, but you don't intentionally hurt people. We are not going to slander someone we are willing to die for. If we love someone, we will defend them and stick up. We won't defend their sin, but we'll stick up for them. But whoever has the world's goods and see his brother in need and close his heart against him How does the love of God abide in him? And if people really in really genuine need, we need to make an effort to help them. I've had people, beggars, there's beggars that go from church to church that make their living begging from churches. And I've had people to throw that up to me. Well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to help me. I said, well, are you helping yourself? why don't you get a job? You know, but if I know someone, like in this church, and I know that they have a need, we try to immediately respond. In some cases, if we know the need is real, we'll try to help them financially and never even ask them if they need it, because we know they need it. But that doesn't mean you bless every freeloader, you know, and ripoff artist. As a matter of fact, if you give all those people your money, you won't have any money to give those who really need it. So it's amazing how people can take the gospel and twist it around and use it against you. Well, if you really loved me, you'd help me buy marijuana. Okay. No. You twisted it. Verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? We can see a person's love by what they do, not by what they say. And by the way, if you live for the Lord and serve the Lord and people hate you and come against you, God Almighty is on your side. He'll help you, protect you, defend you, fight for you. Can you say amen? Amen. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I grew up during segregation. Everybody beating up on me was white. But I had to forgive those white people. Amen. And how many know that's always true? If you're black, black people beating up on you. If you're white people beating up on you. If you're Hispanic. And I mean, what is that? That's the work of the devil. And we just have to trust God to take care of us, but we still need to not let hate and bitterness get in our heart. Either wreck you or destroy you. This is good preaching. Verse 18, just because I'm reading the Bible. Verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. A lot of people are quick to speak love, but true love is expressed in deeds. Agape love is a commitment to always be there for each other. I remember two different families in this church years ago. Both of them lost their jobs, and both of them were out of work for about a year, but they were good, godly people. They were doing everything they could to get a good job. Things were just really bad and hard. This church, the people in this church, not just the church, people in this church gave money to pay their mortgage, each of those families, for a year. That's what a church is supposed to look like. Amen. Agape is self-giving love. We must imitate the Good Samaritan. In Colossians 3:12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. How many think that'll solve a lot of problems? But it says each other, you know. I've had people say to me, well, you're supposed to help me bear my burdens. I said, well, you're supposed to help me bear mine too. Okay. Each other, one another. Bearing with one another. So we're tired of putting up with you. Well, we've been putting up with you. Okay. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We must forgive white people, and we must forgive black people. We must forgive Hispanic people, and anyone that may have hurt us anyway, regardless of what the race is, we need to forgive people and trust vengeance to God. And God will bring vengeance if they do not repent. He'll bring vengeance on me, too, if I do things to hurt people and do not repent. A time or two, I almost got in real trouble myself. So I know this is real. Love produces love produces compassion, kindness, humility, and patience, as this all says here and implies. If someone offends us, we are commanded to forgive. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond for this church is unity. The perfect bond for your family is unity. The perfect bond for your workplace is unity. And the way you get there is love each other. Be good Samaritans. Love is the glue that holds us together. By the way, this is some of the best marriage counseling I've ever heard. I said, this is some of the best marriage counseling I've ever heard. Look at this. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness. Does that sound like a good husband to you? Don't ask Dot if I do this, but I'm a work in progress. Can you say amen? Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. Everybody knows how humble I am. I am so humble, I'm proud of it. Some people get that and some won't. I'm not going to explain it. Gentleness. Are you gentle with the person that matters the most to you, your wife, your husband? Patient. Somebody gave us a big house. That house is not big enough. We need a bigger house. Because every time I turn around, Dot is in my way. Every time I turn around, she's in my... every time I'm in her way. Can you say amen? And no matter how big the house is, you got to have patience to live there with another person. You marry people, I'm telling them right. Verse 13, bearing with one another. That means you put up with junk because you love them. I'm glad Dottie loves me because she puts up with a lot of junk. And forgiving each other. Well, she really messed up. Okay, forgive her. Well, he really messed up. Forgive him. That doesn't mean, here again, you become a doormat and let people walk all over you and do all kinds of things. Sometimes you got to draw a line in the sand. But at the same time, if you're going to live together and you're going to stay together, you have to love each other and be patient with each other and put up with junk. As I said last week, God is more important to me than getting my way. I'm pretty clever. I can manipulate. I can get my wagon. But I'd rather have Dottie than to do that. Make up your mind what you want. And forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Should you forgive them? Now, that doesn't mean if someone is doing something dangerous, they're bringing drugs in your house, they're bringing drug dealers in your house, that doesn't mean that you have to allow that. Amen. You got to get rid of that to protect your kids and your family. Yeah. But at the same time, if they repent and say, forgive me, forgive them. Amen. We must forgive each other, no matter what. It says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Think of that. If you really love people, it binds you together. And that's why this church is so special. It really is a bunch of people who love each other, care about each other. Every kind of race you can think of, every kind of creed and code, you know, the thing that binds us together is not that we all agree on the same thing, it's that we love each other. Love is the glue that holds us together. True love is hard to offend. You know that? True love is hard to offend. It sticks like glue. I love people, and to offend me, you almost have to come up to me, get right in my face, say, pay attention now, I'm going to offend you. Otherwise, I just got to slough it off. Well, they're good people. And it's kind of automatic. So if you want to offend me, you have to go to a lot of trouble. You have to get right in my face. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you live in harmony. Wonder what that means. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Some Christians have the attitude that as long as they do not commit adultery, love as brothers is optional. It is not optional. You are required to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the number two commandment that covers all the other commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. According to God's word, if we are not loving each other, indeed, we are not keeping the law. We need to love each other by action and not just words. I've had some people in the church over the years. They had a personality totally opposite to mine. They weren't friendly. They're kind of grumpy, but they were really good people. And anytime I had a problem, they'd be the first one there to help me. That's what you go by. That's what you go by. Yep. Race, nothing else matters if they're there for you. According to God's word, if we do not love each other in deed, in behavior, the way we act, the things we do, we are not keeping all the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we love God, we are required to love people. And if you pray enough, God will put that love in you so it'll be real. Love harms no one. Don't tell me you love me when you're trying to do something to destroy me. I'm not going to believe it. Let's decide to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that's all.